All right, we are going to start Dalet Amud Aleph at the bottom and then try and cover Dalet Amud Bet if possible. Jake, Dalet Amud Aleph, Dalet Amud Bet, okay?
Jake came in late.
All right, so now the Gemara is tagging along to the original Mishnah and the Machloket as to when you could say Kriyat Shema until and what were the prescribed times of Kriyat Shema. So we had two opinions, right? We had Rabbi Eliezer that said Ad Sofa Ashmur Harishona, right? And we had Rabban Gamliel that said Ad right Kol Alayla, right? So that was the Machloket as to when you could say Kriyat Shema. Then you had a fourth opinion, right? The Chachamim said Ad Chatzot. Right, so the Gemara earlier discussed the groundings and the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban Gamliel. They both had a different read of the pasuk v'shoch b'cha. Right, one of them said zman shchiva, when people go to sleep. Right, people tend to go to sleep in the first third of the night, or if you're a crazy university student, it's bizman anybody sleeps. Right, and so therefore, those of you who are pulling all nighters, according to that shita, could read Kriyat Shema all night. So we understood those two shitot, in that we have Rabban Gamliel, we have Rabbi Eliezer, and we know why they say what they say. But now we have the Chachamim who say Ad Chatzot. So the Gemara right now is going to try and figure out the reasoning behind the Chachamim themselves. So the Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzot. Chachamim Keman Svir Elu. Who do the Chachamim hold like? Meaning, how do they read the word B'shach B'cha, Rashi explains. Right? Iker Rabbi Eliezer, Svir Elu, Lehemru Rabbi Eliezer. Let them say like Rabbi Eliezer. Right? The Iker Rabban Gamliel Sviri Lehu, in the way that they read the word B'shoch B'cha, Leimru Ker Rabban Gamliel. So it's unclear. So answers the Gemara, Le'olam Ker Rabban Gamliel Sviri Lehu. They definitely hold like Rabban Gamliel, in that they hold that you can read Kriyat Shema all night, right? Ve'hadeka Amar Ad Chatzot, that which they say Ad Chatzot, the reason why they limit their Shita, right? Kedei Laharchik Et Ha'adam Min Ha'Avera. To distance a person from doing an avera, right? Kidetanya, Chachamim asu siag ledivrehim. Chachamim made a border, a guard for what they for their words. Kidei shelo yehi adam ba min asada be'erev, right? So that a person shouldn't come from the fields at night. Ve'omer eilech leveti, and they'll say to themselves, "I'll go to my house." Ve'ochel kima, and I'll eat a little bit. Ve'eshte kima, and I'll drink a little bit. Ve'ishan kima, and I'll take a little nap. I know it seems crazy, but I don't know, sometimes like at night, like if I'm exhausted, I'll take like a 5-minute nap and then get back to work. My dad can attest to that. Right? So somebody might come home, they might mess around a little bit. Next thing they know, they wake up on the couch, you know, at 5 a.m. in the morning, right? Summertime, it's already light outside, right? And they miss Kriyat Shema. So as a result, the Chachamim made this takana that they should say Kriyat Shema until Chatzot, and that's really the rationale behind the Chachamim's opinion. So in summary, they read the word B'shach B'cha like Rabban Gamliel does, in that it connotes going to sleep at any time that an individual goes to sleep, i.e. that one can read Kriyat Shema, technically mean HaTorah the whole night. But they made this gezeira that people shouldn't forget to say Kriyat Shema, that people are now able to, should only say Kriyat Shema really until Chatzot. So, yashin kol alayla, aval adam ba min asada. But now a person will come in from the fields ba'erev v'nichnas leveit hakneset. They'll go into shul on their way home. Im ragil likrot korah, if it's normal that they should read from the Torah, they'll read from the Torah. Im ragil lishnat shoneh, or if it's customary for them, I'm not sure what the context of lishnat here is, whether it's to be korah mishnayot or whether it's to review. But whatever it is, a person will go to the base measures, they'll learn a little bit. V'kore Kriyat Shema, and they'll read Kriyat Shema, umit palel, and then they'll daven, v'ochel pito umivarach, and then they'll eat their bread, and they'll bench. Right? Tosfot actually derives from here the fact that the braita is so specific in its order implies that really, technically, one perhaps shouldn't start a suda before they read Kriyat Shema. Tosfot derives this halacha at the top, but just because of the specificity of the braita. Now the braita ends off with a pretty I don't know, I guess scary sentence. V'chola over al divrei chachamim chayav mita. It ends off, and if you read Kriyat Shema after midnight, we're gonna chop your head off. You know, don't do it. So the Gemara asks, Maishna b'chol duchta, in every other place where the Chachamim have a gzera, there's a din derabanan, de lo katani chayav, right? Doesn't use the word chayev mita. Umayishna hacha dekatani chayev mita. Why here does it use the word chayev mita? So the Gemara gives two answers. Yibayitem mishum deika ones shena. Right, it's common for a person to be ne'enas with shena. It's common for a person to just fall asleep and wake up, you know, at weird hours. The bayde miman de amar tefilat arbit reshut kamash malan de chova. Or it could be to be yotze the opinion that holds, or to contradict the opinion that it holds that arvit is reshut kamash malan, that if you don't daven marv, then we're gonna chop your head off. Right, that you actually have to treat Mar with a certain degree of importance. It's interesting, Agav, just the first shita, one thing that I noticed, the ika ones shena, right? So ones is not, I'm sure you guys probably all know this, but just to reiterate, the Gemara seems to imply here, ones is not an exemption, right? If I fall asleep, even though technically I might not be chayav, you know, as though I completely ignored the mitzvah, right? Onus is onus, right? We learn from a pasuk that onus is not chayev, right? Vilanara lo tased avar, 2 weeks ago is laning, right? The Gemara derives from there that that a general case of onus, you're actually not chayev any sort of a punishment. Yet the Gemara here still seems to view onus as though I've done something wrong. So the Gemara actually later on Daf Chaf Gimel, entertains the idea of an individual who's a Baal Keri and can't read Kriyat Shema. And the Gemara there says that you actually are supposed to think Kriyat Shema when you're with a Tzibur. And the Gemara says, well, if there is no to'elet to thinking of Kriyat Shema, right, if I don't verbalize it, then there's two shitas, but the Gemara there is dealing with the shita that I'm not Yotze Kriyat Shema if I don't verbalize it. So the Gemara asks, what's the to'elet, what's the gain from saying Kriyat Shema with a Tzibur if I'm not verbalizing it? So the Gemara says, since the tzibur is being mekabel on themselves, ol malchut shamayim, right? There is still a fundamental, you know, importance for a person to be a part of that, even though he's not verbalizing it, and even though he's not actually yotze the mitzvah. So I don't know. I want to say perhaps that there is a tzad within that shita to say that even though fundamentally you're not chayev as though you were mevatel kriyat shema, right? There still is that to'elet of saying kriyat shema to be mekabel ol malchut shamayim from a personal perspective, not necessarily specifically from a mitzvah perspective, but that we see that ideal that even though you're not necessarily chayev for not doing the mitzvah, we don't get you in trouble for it, there still is a personal gain for saying kriyat shema of that kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. But I don't know, just something that I noticed. You guys don't, you know, if you're learning the Yamud and you want to rush through a little more, then that's also fine. Right, this is just something I noticed. So Amar Mar. So now we're going to quote a previous statement. Amar Mar, Kura Kriyat Shema Mipalo. Somebody, you read Kriyat Shema and then you daven. Mesayeh Alei L'Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu Ben HaOlam Haba. Who's a Ben HaOlam Haba? Zeh HaSomech Geula LeTfila. This is the person that links Geula to Tfila Shel Arvi. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Omer, Tfilot Be'emsa Tiknu. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi disagrees. And he says that really, tefillah were meant to be between Kriyat Shemas, i.e. you have a tefillah sandwich. At the beginning of the day, you say Kriyat Shema. During the days, you daven all of your tefillah. And you end off the day with a Kriyat Shema. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. I heard an interesting... There's an obvious question here. What? Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to hell? Like, that seems to be the implication, right? You're not a Ben Olam Haba because you disagree with me. Right, that seems to be the implication. So there's a Rav in Yerushalayim that I heard. His name is Rav Sherky. He's a Moroccan Rav. I stayed at my uncle's and I heard him say something. He said, it doesn't mean to say that it's actually a Ben Olam Haba that Rabbi Yochanan is telling Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi that he's not a Ben Olam Haba. It means, how do we know that you have your mind in the right place? How do you know that you're actually a Ben Olam Haba, so to speak? You're living Olam Haba. So that's what he wanted to say it meant. So obviously he would hold that Rabbi Yeshua is a Ben Olam Haba for other reasons. But he's saying a good siman of somebody who's the template of a Ben Olam Haba is somebody who's somech geula letfila. So I personally like that interpretation, because otherwise you're stuck with Rabbi Yochanan saying that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to hell, which I'd rather not believe. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi omer tefila be'emtza tiknu. So b'may kemiflege, what do they argue? Ibayit eima kra, ibayit eima svara. It could be that you could say that their argument is rooted in a pasuk, that they interpret a pasuk differently, right? Or you could say that their argument is rooted in logic. Ibayit eima svara. So you could say that it's rooted in logic. The Rabbi Yochanan Savar Geula Meorta Namihavi. There was a certain aspect of Geula that happened at night. Ella Geula Mal Yata Lohavi Ella Ad Safra. So there still was a form of Geula at night, even though the pasuk doesn't depict Geula as a night occurrence. Right? Really, Geula started from the evening. V'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar Kiven De Lo Havia Ella Mit Safra. Lo Havia Geula Me'al Yata. Right? It's since the real Geula happened in the morning, we don't consider the night Geula to be a full Geula. So exactly what their argument is rooted in, I'm not quite sure. I think, nevertheless, we should still look at the Rashi Zeh HaSomech. Right? There's a Rashi there that kind of outlines why we where we get the psukim from Geula, why we link them to Tefillah, and why we say that Geula is a night occurrence. So Rashi says Zeh HaSomech V'chol Shekein DeShachrit. The Iker Geula Mitzrayim b'Shacharit Hava. The Iker Geula of Mitzrayim was in the morning. Kedichtiv Mimocharat haPesach Yatzu b'nei Yisrael. Mimocharat implies the next day. That's when Geula happened. V'smichat Geula l'tfila Ramza David b'Sefer Tehillim. So it's interesting here because I'm not quite sure what the sources of smichat Geula l'tfila are. Rashi is about to mention something, but it seems a little vague that now we're going to say Ibaidei Masvar. But we'll see, right? Ibaidei Makra. Sorry. Dichtiv, Hashem tzuri v'goali, v'samichle, yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Right? V'amrinan b'vrachot Yerushalmi, and we also say in brachot Yerushalmi, it's interesting here because it suggests that Rashi had Yerushalmi, and Rashi's knowledge of Yerushalmi throughout Shas is known to be like debated. And how much he had, how much he knew, what he refers to as Yerushalmi. But, so Rashi says, Mishe eino somech geula litfila, he knocked on the door of the king, right? Yatza hamelech, the king came out. Umatzo shehiflig, shehiflig. So af hu hiflig. So ela yiye adam mekarev la'kadosh baruch hu elav umeratzeu b'tishpachot uklusin shel yitziat mitzrayim v'hu mitkarev elav uveodo karov elav. So the idea is that you shouldn't just knock on the door and ask a king for what you want and then run away, right? The idea is that you greet the king with words of praise, with gifts. So I think that the idea obviously is not that God needs you to mention Geula, but the idea is more that you need to approach God with that Hakarat HaTov in mind. But I think the Rashi was important, nevertheless. So anyways, we've just discussed the Svar through which they disagree. Right now, we're going to discuss the Kravi. Baidei Makra, v'shnei mikra echa darshu. They both learn it from a pasuk. Dichtiv b'shochbecha uv kumecha. Rabbi Yochanan savar makish shchiva lekima, makima kriyat shema v'achar kach tefila, af shchiva nami kriyat shema v'achar kach tefila. So Rabbi Yochanan learns that you have to be somech geula litfila at night because of b'shochbecha uv kumecha. We compare the kriyat shema of day to kriyat shema of night for everything, and just like Kriyat Shema of night starts with Geula and ends with Tefillah. Just like Kriyat Shema of day starts with Geula and ends with Tefillah, so too we should treat Kriyat Shema of night the same way. Now, based on that Rashi, I'm not quite sure what that means, because Rashi seemed to derive Smichat Geula l'Tefillah as something that was almost of rabbinic proportions. He quoted me a few psukim in Tefillin, in Tehillim, right? He quoted me a few psukim in Tehillim, right, that discussed that discussed how David would daven, and he quoted me a Yerushalmi, but he never quoted me any sort of a pasuk. So to me, it might be more of an asmachta than anything else, because otherwise I don't understand how Rashi's learning this from the sources, how Rashi understands Rabbi Yochanan to be learning this from a pasuk. It doesn't seem like a Torah din, it seems like a rabbinic din. But, okay, well, I guess for another time, right? So, V'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar Makish Shechiva Lekima Makima Kriyat Shema Samuch Lemitato Af Shechiva Nami Kriyat Shema Samuch Lemitato. So he makes a hekesh of Kima and Shechiva, just like Shechiva has Kriyat Shema Samuch, just like Kima has Kriyat Shema Samuch Lemitato, in that you wake up and you read Kriyat Shema. So too, next to your bed, you should also read Kriyat Shema at night, and therefore you should say it after you daven, as the last thing you do before you go to sleep. So Mativ Marbrei de Ravina, but Erev Mevarch Shtayim Lefaneh, Avishtayim Lacharei, Avi Amrit Bai Lismoch Halokasamach Geula Litfila, Da Habai Lemeimar Hashkivenu. Right? How could you say that Kriyat Shema is samuch l'tfila if we know that there are brachot that you say after Kriyat Shema at night? So answers the Gemara. Amrei kiven ditakinu rabbanan hashkivenu kigeula arichta dami. The lo tema hachi shachrit hechi matzi samich. You can't even say that there's a smicha of shachrit if you're saying that hashkivenu is a hefsek, right? V'ha'am Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila omer Hashem sefatai tiftach, right? We have that pasuk of Hashem sefatai tiftach. Ulevasof hu amer yiyulu ratzonim reifis. So you see that you have Hashem sefatai tiftach in between geula and tefila. Ela hatam kiven detakinu rabbanan lememar Hashem sefatai tiftach ketfila richta damia. Hachanami kiven detakinu rabbanan lememar hashkivenu kigeula richta damia. So to me, it seems a little bit odd. The way the Gemara treats the lashon of kigeula arichta damia, it implies that it's part of the geula. The Gemara could have just as easily said, once the Rabbanan stated this thing, this idea, it was mufka, it was removed from the rules of geula and tefila. Why is it that this has to be a part of the geula itself? So, I don't know, I thought to say perhaps that there's an inherent importance in the brachas and the psukim, right? Not just that the Rabbanan added it. So these psukim or these brachas have aspects of geula and tefila within them. So I thought that, and then Rabbeinu Yonah agreed with me because he said the same thing. So he said hashkivenu was something mentioned in context of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It was the bracha that Bnei Yisrael said as they were about to leave the night before they left, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't treat them like the Mitzrayim, and therefore it has an aspect of geula in it. So too Hashem sefatai tiftach is the Tehillim that was mentioned, right? I think it's... I can't remember. You say it before... I say before I go to bed. I just can't remember which parak it is. But it was mentioned after David did the Baisa with Bathsheba.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no one.
Yeah. Forget the number. Yeah. I want to say like Taf Zion or something. But okay. Whatever. Oh, no. Lamed Hay. It's Lamed Hay. Anyways. It's this, so that also connotes a lashon of tefillah, right? David is asking for kapara, that Hashem should forgive him for the avera that he did. So therefore, textually, it is ke tefillah arichta damya, Hashem sefatai, and hashkivenu is ke geula arichta, right? So it is a part of geula, and it is a part of tefillah, which obviously poses the question that will drive all the Rishonim nuts. If really it is a textual din, and not the fact that the Rabbanan inserted this din, then what about the minhag to say Baruch Hashem Leolam, right? Which doesn't necessarily have the same connotations of geula or tefila. So different Rishonim answer in different ways. But just to make you guys aware of the issue, right? It's there. But okay, fine. I'm Rabbi Elazar. I'm Rabbi Avina. Kola Omer Tehila LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. So here's that Ben Olam Haba thing again. Anybody who says Ashrei three times, he's muftach that he's a ben olam haba. My time, why? Ilema mishum de atya ba alef bet. If it's because you're saying the whole alef bet, nema ashrei tamimei derech. Right? You should say that kapitel tehillim, that huge one. I don't know if you guys recognize it. It's gigantic. De atya betamanya apin. Right? Where the whole alef bet is actually reviewed 8 times in that big tehillim thing. Ela mishum de itbe poteach ed yadecha. Rather, maybe you'll say that the reason why you're a ben olam haba is because you say the words poteach et yadecha. Again, I think that the fundamental here is that you're a ben olam haba in that you're a being that lives his life as though he's an olam haba. Therefore, one who lives his life realizing poteach et yadecha, that everything comes from Yad Hashem, right, will live his life as though he's a ben olam haba, will live his life in a holy way. So neima halal hagadol. You should say something else. You don't have to say poteach et yadecha. You could say halal agado dechtiv bein notein lechem lechol basar, right? And that implies the same thing. Ela mishum deit beitarti. Rather, you have to say that the advantage of Ashrei is that it has both. It has poteach et yadecha and it has the aleph bet. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mipnei ma lo nemar nun beAshrei. Why don't you have the letter nun in Ashrei if it's supposed to contain the whole aleph bet? Bipnei sheyesh ba mapalatan shel sonei Yisrael. Right, because it connotes the nefila. The word nun would stand for the nefila of Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael really means Bnei Yisrael. When the Gemara doesn't want to actually say anything bad about the Jewish people, the Gemara often uses this terminology. Dichtiv nipla lo tosif kum bitulat Yisrael. Right. You fell and you won't continue. You won't be able to get up. Bitulat Yisrael, and therefore it implies that Bnei Yisrael won't be able to get up, and that's the nefila. And so therefore, David HaMelech didn't want us to say this nefila in Ashrei, or didn't want to put this nefila in Tehillim. Therefore, he didn't use the letter nun. B'ma'arava mitartzei lahachi nipla v'lo tosif linpol ad kum bitulat Yisrael. So they write it differently. Nipla, comma, velotosif linpol. Lotosif didn't mean that you're not going to be able to lotosif lakum. Lotosif means lotosif linpol. Ad kum betulat Yisrael. So you'll be fine, right? Nifila doesn't connote this idea. It really means that you'll get up. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Afilu hachi, chazar David v'samchan beruach hakodesh. David went and picked them up beruach hakodesh. Why? Because he said, Somech Hashem lechol anoflim. Even though Nun connotes Nefila, he said, Somech Hashem lechol anoflim, that if Bnei Yisrael should be Noflim, they should be also Nismach, and therefore he included that in the Tehillim. Amar Reb Elazar bar Avina, Gadol ma sheneemar b'Michael, yoter mima sheneemar b'Gavriel. That which is described with regards to Michael, the angel Michael, is greater than that which was described regarding the angel Gabriel. The ilu b'Michael k'tiv, by Michael it says, Vayaf Eli echad min ha-serafim. It says the word vayaf once, i.e. he flapped his wings once, or did what angels do to transport. Rashi says that he flapped his wings once, but I'm not assuming, I assume that now we're being anthropomorphic and we're not being literal. V'ilu gabe Gavriel, but by Gavriel it says k'tiv va'ish Gavriel asher ra'iti b'chazon b'tchila ma'uf b'ya'af, uses the word flapping twice or flight twice. So therefore Rashi draws from this that in order to get anywhere Michael needs to flap his wings once, whereas in Gavriel needs to flap his wings twice. So my mashma dehai echad Michael, who the pasuk only said Michael when we said that he flapped. So the pasuk only said echad, right? It didn't use the word Michael. So how do we know that it was talking about Michael, right? Amar Rabbi Yochanan atya echad echad. We have a gzeir shava. K'tiv hacha v'yaf elai echad min haserafim. Uchtiv hatam, right? V'hinei Michael echad hasarim rishonim bala azreini. So we see that therefore the person or the angel that flaps its wings once is Michael, and the angel that flaps its wings twice is Gavriel. So Tana, we have a Mishnah that teaches the same idea, or a Mishnaic text, right? So Tana Michael be'achat, Michael flaps his wings once, Gavriel b'shtayim, Eliyahu be'arba, Eliyahu does it four times, u'malach hamavet b'shmona, u'vishat hamagefa be'achat. So the Malach HaMavet, when Eliyahu comes, he'll need a, so to speak, flap four times. And when the Malach HaMavet comes, he'll need a flap flaps eight times, unless it's a Shana Magefa, in which he flaps once. So I didn't really get this Gemara, obviously, because it's way too anthropomorphic for me.
Shana Magefa.
When there's a plague. When people are dying rampantly. I didn't really understand this, so I thought to say perhaps that the Gemara is trying to tell you more about the actions of the individuals than it was to tell you about literally how fast they fly, i.e. that Michal, in order to do what he does, God favors what Michal does, that it takes him half the time to do that which Gavriel does, and so on and so forth. And the Maharsha agreed with me. But he mentioned that... Maharsha brings it from more of a Kabbalistic perspective, meaning I don't understand what the genuine tasks of angels are, nor do I understand what the genuine task of Eliyahu does in his flapping of wings. So Maharsha brings this whole weird thing about chibur of the four yesodas, of Eish, Mayim, Avir, and Afar, and he brings this that whole idea of chibur. But he mentions that the role of Gavriel and the role of Michal, that Gavriel is Midat HaRachamim, sorry, Michal is Midat HaRachamim, and Gavriel is Midat HaDin, and God allotted more of a likelihood of Midat HaRachamim to succeed or to happen faster than he did Midat HaDin. And therefore, Michal functions twice as fast as Gavriel in that God wants to give that Kedimut to Midat HaRachamim and not Midat HaDin. And that personally just made much more sense, except for the four yesodas thing. I have to look at the Maharsha a little bit longer. But the idea is just what we give kedimut to, or what God gives kedimut to, not necessarily literally who flaps faster.
Any reason why Eliyahu was only four?
So the Maharsha goes into that. He says that Eliyahu was like all four yesodas, and then once he's afar, it takes him longer. I don't know. You have to look at the Maharsha more. But I don't know.
He's also someone, whenever he spoke with the Jewish people, he was much more on the side of Midat HaDin. So it made more sense that God would...
That's a good point.
It'll make him flap more time.
Yeah, sort of limited.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Thanks.
Yeah. And the Malach HaMavet in Shad of Magefa is because there's obviously Gzera Min HaShamayim, right, of Magefa, right? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu prescribes Magefa, it's because he wants to punish, right? So it's not a singular person dying. It's a good point, right? It's not a singular person dying. It's a Gzera from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, a Kadosh Baruch Hu would give that extra speed, so to speak, that Kedimut to Magefa. So continues the Gemara from the two dots. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Afal pi shekara Adam Kriyat Shema Beveda Knesset. Even though a person read Kriyat Shema in Shul, mitzvah likroto al mitato. There's a mitzvah for him to read it also on his bed before he goes to sleep. So it seems to be that this is independent. It's interesting that this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying this, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one that said a person me'ikar adin should be reading Kriyat Shema before he goes to sleep. Right? So it's interesting that this is the statement coming from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay. Afal pishakar adam kriyat shema beveda knesset mitzvah likroto al mitato. Amar Rabbi Yosi, ma'ikra. Where do we see the pasuk? Rigzu v'al techtau imru bilvavchem al mishkavchem. So you should tremble and not sin. Right, say in your hearts on your beds v'du musela, and then be quiet. So he understood this to mean imru bilvavchem al mishkavchem. Say something in your hearts on your beds v'du musela, and then go to sleep. So Amar Rav Nachman, im Talmid Chachamu ain't sarich. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need to do this. Why? Because he's already saying other things in his heart on his bed. He doesn't have to say Kriyat Shema. He can say other things, and that still reads Yuval Techtav. Amar Rabbi, af Talmid Chacham ibay leil meimar. Rabbi even holds that a Talmud Chacham needs to say it. Chad psuka de rachame. You still have to say a pasuk of rachame. Kigon beyadcha af kidruchi padito ti Hashem elemet. You still need to say some sort of a pasuk of rachamim before you go to sleep. Okay? That's the yamadah.